Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
Wish to follow along, turn of course to Romans chapter 6. I want to read as my main text this morning verses 12 through 16. My title and my subject, I could say, is Yield Yourselves Unto God. That's actually found within our text. Yield yourselves unto God. Romans chapter 6, verse 12, Paul continuing here says, let not sin, therefore, based upon everything that he's already said.
Exactly.
And not just what he said in this chapter, but especially what he said in chapter 5.
Yes, sir.
Because of our substitute, because of our representative, because of who Christ is and what he has accomplished for us at Calvary. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And that's the prerequisite.
Yes.
There is no ability to do this.
Yes.
Either one, yielding not your members, or yielding unto God, apart from life from God. Not physical life, though that's certainly necessary, but spiritual life from God. As those that are alive from the dead. Again, let me say this. Life from God, spiritual life from God, is not some talking point that God's people speak of. Religion talks about life from God, but they have no idea what they're talking about. This life is spiritual, but it is real.
Yes.
It is real. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not? Now look at this. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness.
Amen.
I know there are those out there in the world that accuse God's people of being all kinds of things. They've come up with all kinds of names to accuse God's people of. And I know that there are legalists. We've had one even in our own midst, but that person is gone now. Praise be to God.
Amen.
I say that now. Praise be to God, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We're not under law.
Amen.
But we're under grace. Under it.
Amen.
That is, it dominates. It is over top of us.
Yes,
it controls.
Yes, sir.
It controls. If you're under the law, you're under the what?
Yeah.
Curse. But look at it. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And those who preach and believe and give witness to the free and reigning grace of God in Jesus Christ are often accused of not being concerned about our walk, but they are dead wrong. Let's get right to the word. We are commanded by Paul to refuse sin any throne time in our mortal bodies.
Yes.
That's what we're commanded to do.
Yeah.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. It honors Christ's person and work to rebel against sin.
There you go.
There's your way to think about it.
Yeah.
We like rebellion so much, It's okay to rebel against sin.
That's right.
It's okay to not allow sin any throne time in our mortal bodies. Sin, again, sin exists in us. Sin still affects us. And we still find ourselves under the influences of its lusts. But being alive unto God, we can. We are enabled by God to not yield ourselves, our members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But that's the key. Don't yield to sin, but yield to God.
Amen.
So again, it honors Christ's person and work to rebel against sin. Sinful lust resides in us, but let us disobey its lustful leanings. Secondly, there is a vitally intertwined twofold facet to yielding. You can't yield to God and at the same time be yielding to the flesh. It does not happen. It does not happen. There is a refusal to yield our members, and there is a yielding ourselves unto God. This is something that we are actually engaged in, that we should cry out for mercy from God because of His mercy and grace. Cry out for the lead and the direction of His Spirit. A God-wrought life from God is the only impetus to such a thing. Romans chapter 8, look at what Paul will go on to say. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now let's get that first straight. To them which are in Christ Jesus. Not to those who've made a profession of faith. Though those who are in Christ do have a profession of faith. But we hold fast to our profession. We hold fast our profession. We keep on professing Christ.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, but look, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, here's the authority. Here's the law. Now here's a law that you can be glad for. Here's a law that you can clearly serve. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us.
Exactly.
And we'll look at this in more detail. Not by us, but fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, what do? They mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And I just have to be straightforward. I think that some of God's people, actually think they were saved before they were really saved. They made some profession of faith. They professed even according to the truth, but they had no love for the truth. They love this still more down in here. But somewhere along the line, God Almighty moves in and saves their soul. But they're not instructed so that they grasp that what happened before was of no avail. I don't know exactly when God converted me. I don't know exactly when God converted me. Now, Saul of Tarsus could tell you exactly when God converted him. But I can't tell you when that was, because I had so much baggage with me. So much things that I was still clinging on to. But one day, God finally opened my eyes and I seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But let's go on. For to be carnally minded, doesn't say you will die, it says is death.
Amen.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God. And that means, in other words, the law is not your schoolmaster. Well, that's what it means to be subject to the law, having been your schoolmaster and forced you to flee to Christ.
Exactly.
because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Amen.
No matter how moral they may be.
Yeah.
No matter how much they may drop immorality for morality. And I'm not telling you, immorality is a crime against God.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight. Let's get it straight. For which things' sake, Paul wrote to one church, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, and there's the question, only God can answer that question for you in your own soul. I cannot answer that question for you.
That's right.
I have a difficult enough time dealing with it myself, in myself, and about myself. Somebody says, well, do you think I'm saved? I have no idea. I'm more persuaded of you all than I am of myself, but I have no idea. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Amen.
So again, a God-wrought life from God is the only impetus to such a condition, to such a walk. And that's why I chose this for a closer walk with God. If you can't relate to that, then you don't know God. Because no matter how close I have walked with Him in the past, I know it has not been close enough.
Exactly. That's it.
I know it has not been close enough. And the only reason I can say that and confess that is because I'm in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Because countless thousands of people are religious, even profess Christianity, but they're in the flesh and they feel quite well about their own selves.
Yeah.
That's called deception. That's called deception. Number three, dominion is determined by the ruling power. We see it, verse 14. Now, I'm not explaining every word in these things, but I'm trying to kind of summarize these verses so far. Again, remember, number three, dominion is determined by the ruling power. Not by you, not by me.
That's right.
But by the ruling power. The question is, what rules over me? What rules over me? I can never, ever hope to not yield my members unto unrighteous as members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, and yield myself unto God unless God's grace has dominion over me. Four, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
We'll deal with that, God willing, more later. I'm not going to deal with it in a lot of detail, but listen, these few things though. Under law, sin dominates.
Yeah.
And oh, if God would show these legalists, if He would open their eyes to this truth, under law, sin dominates.
You're right.
I'm talking about God's law. God's holy law. God's just and righteous law. But if it's what you're under sin.
That's right.
You're under its curse. You're under its death. You're under its condemnation. You can only be freed from sin if grace dominates you.
Amen.
These legalists know not what they say. Nor whereof they affirm.
Exactly.
They do not want to deal with the truth of Scripture. They'll refer to some old Baptist document.
Yeah.
But they don't want to deal with the truth of the words of Scripture. Under law, sin dominates. Under grace, spiritual life in Christ dominates. Because grace is not just a doctrine, it is an act of the Almighty God.
Amen.
Never, ever in any way Let us never in any way conduct ourselves sinfully because of the ruling power of grace. The ruling power is grace and not law. And that's what he says. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Because whoever you subject yourself to, whoever you yield to, that proves who your master is.
Yes, sir.
Now, it is asinine. I just like that word. Now, I'm going to explain to you what the word means so you'll know. Because, you know, I had to look it up myself. I thought I had an idea, but I wanted to make sure I was really... I just like that word. Why? Because it upsets people. It is asinine. That means extremely stupid and foolish.
Exactly.
It is asinine to live by human logic.
You're right.
Asinine. What then? Now, either you're under the law or you're under grace. One or the other.
Yes, sir.
If you're under grace, you're not under the law.
Right. Yeah.
It's period.
That's what I said.
I'm not going to sit here and debate with a bunch of legalists. You keep preaching the truth, the legalists will get mad enough, they'll leave. They'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
We don't have to come out from among them. They will run from us.
There you go.
If you hold firm to the truth,
exactly.
And you don't, just smile at them. You don't have to yell back at them.
No.
I've been yelled at several times here. I'm not getting yelled at now, and it feels good. But here it is. Again, it is asinine to live by human logic. Grace does reign. Not it ought to rain, it might rain, it'll rain if you let it rain. That ain't no kind of rain.
Exactly.
Now is it? Rain means something outside of yourself comes to you and conquers you.
Yes, sir.
That's what a rain is. Listen, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And the law still tells us what sin is.
Yes, sir.
It still defines sin for us.
Yes, sir.
Being under grace doesn't mean now we can sin because there's no more sin anymore.
No.
There's still sin.
Yes, sir.
And we feel it down in here.
Exactly.
We feel it down in here. But look what it says. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. But what's the impetus? Me?
Yeah.
Me yielding? Is that the impetus? No. The impetus is through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the impetus that brings about the reign. Then, if I'm so reigned over, I can yield to God. And I can refuse to yield to my sinful passions and lusts.
Yes,
the reason we don't, if we ever don't, is because we simply give in to them.
Amen.
You just give in to them.
Yeah.
And don't you kid yourself.
Yeah.
We all have this asininity. I don't even know if that's a word, but it's a new one. I haven't put that in Webster's next time I do a new one. It is asinine, but it still resists in us. It exists in us. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? That's in our minds.
Yep.
Since I'm not under the law, then what does it matter? Because grace reigns.
Amen.
Either Jesus Christ is all to you or He's nothing to you. He can't be 90%, 95%, 99.9%. He is all or He is nothing to me.
That's it.
And He's all or He's nothing to you. Now somebody says, well, it sounds like you're saying a believer never sins. No, I have not said that. That's more that asininity.
There you go.
That's more that trying to bring your human logic into the equation. You know what John said. No, I don't want to try to quote it because I'll foul it up miserably. You know what John said? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us.
Amen.
Even in light of what we're reading from this letter from our beloved brother, the Apostle Paul. These things go both good. Don't try to make them fit. Don't try to make 2 plus 5 equals 12. Don't try to do none of that. If we say we have no sin, that's talking about the foundation, the root problem. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Do you see that? The question is, what is the dominating, ruling power in your life? If you can't quit sinning, and I don't mean become sinless. I'm talking about you got something you're dealing with in your life and you can't say, I will not yield to that anymore. You can't stop the thoughts. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lusts there. The lusts are in there, but you don't obey them. You don't carry them out. You don't go through with it. And if you cannot cease from sin, Jude says you are apostate. I think it's Jude. Jude or Peter, one of them said. Beguiling, unstable souls that cannot cease from sin. Why? Because grace doesn't dominate them. Now, here's the fourth thing. The proof is actually in the yielding. The sum, in other words, and I don't say this to be flippant or funny. The proof's in the pudding, as we say. Right? The proof's in the pudding. Know ye not? Why do you have to say it? Because sometimes we don't. We're not going to know until someone instructs us. We're not going to even really get it until the Holy Spirit applies it to us when someone instructs us.
Yes, sir.
But we've been instructed. This group here can't say, well, I never was told the truth about this matter. You've been told the truth about this matter over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. And it's one or the other. You see it? Now, folks, that's just where it's at. And somebody says, that don't give me comfort. It ain't supposed to give you comfort. It's supposed to warn you to keep yielding unto God. It's supposed to warn you and give you impetus to not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. It's in here, but don't give in to it. Don't give in to it. Now, this wasn't just Paul's take. I'm going to read a verse. You don't have to turn, but let me turn to the passage. Now these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is not some fanatic. This is not some guy standing up for Baptist doctrine or Church of Christ doctrine or Church of God doctrine or whatever it is. Listen to what he says. This is the Lord of glory himself. No man can serve two masters. Now Christ said it's an impossibility. If you think you're serving both, you're really only serving one. And it's the wrong one. I can guarantee you that if you think you're serving both.
Exactly.
No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Well, I got to do this because I'm a Christian. If I don't, I go to hell. And it's out of love. You love to serve God.
Yes, sir.
If you don't love to serve God, you don't know God. You get it? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And what is that? Everything else but God. Let me just put it that way. That's the simplest way for you and I to think about this thing. Well, is that the... You know, people... We're indoctrinated into this stuff. Not here we're not, but we're indoctrinated into this stuff in Sunday schools. This is wrong and this is right. And here's the right words to say and here's the wrong words to say. And everything seems so cut and dried. But everything apart from the glory of God manifest in the face of Jesus Christ is a farce before God if my first thoughts are not of love toward God himself.
Exactly.
We love his gifts. But we love the gifts because we love the giver.
Amen.
It's not I just want salvation. I do want salvation. But I want to be saved by that one I love. Because I know if I love him, it's because he first loved me. So again, number four, the proof is in the actual yielding. So then, what is instruments of unrighteousness unto sin versus instruments of righteousness unto God. And as I just prefaced this statement, many people are told exactly where you're supposed to go, exactly where you're. You can go to the movies, but it has to be under a certain rating. Well, they've changed them all up now. See, I can't keep up with it. You know what I mean? And then, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be listening to Hollywood as to what's really good and bad in their movie? Really? You don't want to be shooting pool, even if it's in your house, in your den. You don't want to be shooting pool when Jesus comes. Well, why not? 8-ball side pocket, go up to glory. Yeah, that'd be a pretty good way to go, would it not? Didn't hear a whole lot of answer on that one, did I? That was tongue-in-cheek, folks. You understand that? Look at it. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto God. This book will tell you what sin is.
Yes, sir.
It will tell you what to avoid or eschew.
Yes, sir.
If it don't define something as sin, it ain't sin. Now get that out of your head. Don't try to use your human logic again. Let me give you a passage. Now, before I do, let me give you this statement. Man-centered, free will-based, legalistic, flesh glorification mongers. Did you like them kind of, explanations of who they are? They all stress this thing of verse 13 as this. Immorality versus morality. Living in sin versus living right. And I'm here to tell you there is a validity to that. Don't you kid yourself. Just because they say it don't make it wrong. Now look at it. 1 Timothy, turn with me to 1 Timothy. I want us to read this. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I know we have the Lord's table to take, but I'll try not to be too long. Look at what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Or, more directly, our hope. That's what he says. Our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. That means that Timothy was under Paul's ministry, and that's where Timothy got most of his instruction, was through Paul.
Yeah.
Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. And this is the same young man that he told him, flee from youthful lusts.
Yes,
is it not?
Yeah.
Same one. Why do they have to tell him that? Because they're down in here. But there is a twofold yielding. Yield not unto unrighteousness, and yield unto God. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Oh, how men love the fables of their religious assumptions in their minds.